Here come the drums. Everybody, welcome into the Angelo Carriero Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. I'm glad to be here this Sunday morning. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm a little sad because of the results of the Region 11. You know, we are ESPN Radio Lexington, and obviously we also root for a lot of the teams in Central Kentucky, but whenever a team from Lexington gets in a spot, whether that be in football and basketball, baseball, swimming, hockey, whatever it may be, we always want to be on the forefront of supporting Lexington schools, which made it all the tougher to see Madison Central High School take down, in my mind, what were the two favorites to make it to the Sweet 16. We went from Tuesday having the possibility of four different Lexington schools making the Sweet 16 to sitting here on this Sunday and not having any make the boys Sweet 16. By the way, the Angelo Carriero Show, you can give us a follow at ESPN Radio Lex, at Angelo Media Lex. You could go to Facebook, ESPN Radio Lexington, just to like and follow the page, just to keep up with everything we've got going on here. The high school season for us, there's a possibility that I will cover the Sweet 16, the boys' Sweet 16, between Wednesday and Saturday. But that would be the last thing for varsity game night this year, which we had an amazing season. But like I said, on Tuesday, the Sweet 16 looked, it was Frederick Douglass, Madison Southern. It was Dunbar versus, I want to say it was Frankfort, because Henry Clay went to Franklin County, and then Lexington Catholic went to Madison Central. Lexington Catholic had only lost to one basketball team all year. They lost to Dunbar, and they lost to Dunbar twice. They have who will be the Mr. Basketball in the state of Kentucky and 2020-21, and Ben Johnson. I figured that they would at least make it to the regional final. By the way that the bracket bore out with everything in the setting, that's what I thought was going to happen. Madison Central ended up putting 101 points on Lexington Catholic in 32 minutes of basketball. Ben Johnson scored 41 points, but the one thing that I've noticed from what's been going on in these tournaments is that teams that shoot inefficiently, no matter how athletic they are, no matter how much defensive prowess they provide or turnovers they force, it just seems that the basketball is as simple as the game's always meant to be, and that's whoever puts the ball in the basket more wins. It reared its ugly head in that game because Madison Central went 15 of 21 from three-point range, shot over 50% from the field in general, and was able to knock Lexington Catholic out. Lexington Catholic, you know, Ben Johnson had to play hero ball, which he doesn't like to do, but in that situation, he's the best player on the court. He tried his best to will his team to victory, and it didn't happen. Lexington Catholic shot, I believe, 13 of 33 from three compared to Madison Central's 15 of 21. They shot under 50% for the game. And even though Catholic was able to put up, I believe it was 92 points, they still gave up 101. So that was pretty shocking. That was a pretty shocking result, especially, it's so weird. They had the Region 11 Player of the Year, Ben Johnson, the Region 11 Coach of the Year, and Coach Brandon Salzman. They don't capture the district championship, and they don't even get it to the semifinals in region, and it's just tough. And those kids have to be devastated. You know, Coach Salzman's going to try to come back big next year. I mean, it was a really, It was an unforgettable year for Catholic overall, but just ending on that type of sour note, it really dampens, I mean, no better way to say it, but it dampens the mood, essentially. So, Henry Clay was defeated by Franklin County. We watched Franklin County on Thursday. They're a good basketball team. So we knew that after Catholic went down that the Lexington representative was going to have to come out of the top of the bracket. We covered Madison Southern, Frederick Douglass, and Madison Southern had a really good, for them being runner-ups, and for them to be runner-ups, it really showed that how real Madison Central is. We'll get to Madison Central in a second. Because they had players all over the court, and yet Frederick Douglass, even on an off-shooting night, which is going to be kind of a theme going forward, they were able to force turnovers. I remember at the beginning of the third quarter, for almost the first half of that quarter, so the first 4 minutes of the game, I think Madison Southern got the ball into a half-court set twice because of the defensive pressure. And before the tournament, and before the Region 11 tournament, my pick to win the Region 11 championship was Frederick Douglass. And they showed me a lot why. Deshaun Jackson didn't have a great scoring night against Southern, but they still had Kai Simpson. They still had Tyson Barrett. They still had Julius Scarce. They still had Shamar Roy Ford. They still had Zayden Ferguson. All of these guys. And they were my pick because I thought that with the scoring options that they had from Jackson to Simpson to Barrett, their defense was going to carry them where they needed to be. Their on-ball defense, their pressure defense up and down the floor. They had the best full-court pressure that I'd seen all year. It reminded me of Brian Stations a couple years back with Eric Boss Boone and Terrence Clayton Murphy and Jalen Burbage and those guys. Kind of that their full pressure defense. Another team that coincidentally lost to Madison Central, only theirs was in a more heartbreaking way, because I really believe that Brian Station should have won that game. A couple of calls late in overtimes really made the difference, but you know, no crying over spilled milk, I guess, but that's how I always remember that. I just figured with that team, I mean, Kai Simpson has emerged as the city's top player. I would say that Kai Simpson's likely emerged as the city's top guard for next year, along with Tanner Walton. And the top player in the city, though, and I called it before for the tournament, and he's a guy that I think next year is going to elevate into a statewide guy, maybe even potentially a national guy. We'll see how he develops. But Tim Hall with Dunbar, they were able to defeat, let's see if it was Dunbar had their home game. And now I'm trying to remember the team that they knocked out, because it was Central Southern. It should have been Frankfort that Dunbar defeated. So we got that in the regional semifinal. We had the two Lexington schools. We had Frederick Douglass and Dunbar. And that was a matchup I was excited to see. The reason why I picked Frederick Douglass was because I thought that their ability to force turnovers would throw Dunbar off of their game. Shooting in that game was hard to come by for Dunbar when Tim Hall sat. He sat the majority of the second quarter. He came back in. He was the best player on the court. Deshaun Jackson had a wonderful first half in that game. He is a great player, committed to Eastern Kentucky University all on his own. But Tim Hall is just, there's something with his athleticism and his size that's another level of dominant, especially at the high school level. I mean, he's a 20-10 guy that shoots 60% from the field. He's unbelievable. He hits over 70% of his free throws, which in high school, it's like shooting 80% in the NBA. Like, just in the terms of what I've seen. He's immaculate. They lost by 1 point on a heave at the buzzer. There was a little bit of time mismanagement, and there was a offensive rebound that was gotten by Frederick Douglass with 2 minutes left. That game went down to the wire. Dunbar is going to be the favorite in the city next year. I think they're going to be the favorite to be win the Region 11 next year. Between Tim Hall, Nick Spaulding, Zach Carter, Lionel Kamwemba, Max Van Dyke, that team, I'll stamp it right now. If everybody stays and they're healthy next year, they will win the Region 11 in sentence. It'll be interesting to see what they do against Madison Central, who has a lot of has a couple of very good players returning. I think Madison Central is going to be good for at least the next 2 years after this one. But Frederick Douglass was able to move on. Madison Central defeated Franklin County very handily. Franklin County reminded me a lot of Southern in the terms of their top players, their play styles. So yesterday, and you might have heard it 10 hours ago, actually, on ESPN Radio, Madison Central, Frederick Douglass, for a spot in the Sweet 16, I kept saying that to win, and it was like this with Dunbar against Douglass, it was like this and for the teams in the District 43 championship game between Catholic and Dunbar, which seems like so long ago, even though it was only 8 to 9 days ago that game happened. But at this level in the playoffs, you have to hit half of your shots. You have to hit 50% of your shots. Because when you get to teams like Madison Central, like Frederick Douglass could be, like Lexington Catholic could be, you have to capitalize on every play. It actually reminds me that when Lafayette played Dunbar, Lafayette just had to make half of their shots because they were able to stay in the game in other ways. And it doesn't have to be all threes. It doesn't have to be all and ones. You don't have to go to the free throw line a ton. So that's why I'm trying to say it's more specific than just score more than the other team. It's that when you have those chances to put it up, if you miss one, you've got to make the other. And Frederick Douglass just couldn't. Madison Central shot over 50% from the field and over 50% from three. They were absolutely dominant. And Frederick Douglass did some of the things that I thought they could do. They forced turnovers on Madison Central. But in that fourth quarter, Madison Central just stopped turning the ball over. DeSean Jackson had probably his worst game as a Bronco. And his career ended on the same court his college career is going to begin. He just couldn't find a way to score. He was very emotional after he fouled out. Kai Simpson had a good game. Tyson Barrett had a good game. But it just wasn't enough. Madison Central, from Cole Brown to Tyler Skaggs to Braden Ray to Will Harden to Jalen Davis, who Jalen Davis reminds me of a Marquez Warrick. He's just a sophomore. He starts on a team that just made the Sweet 16. He's 6'6 and super athletic. He's the future of that program. I think guys like him and Jaden West and Kenyatta Harge in a couple of years, they're going to be the next iteration of this team that's going to stand in the way of a Frederick Douglass or a Lexington Christian or a Bryan Station or a Tate's Creek. Like, that's that team is going to be that kind of power. Madison Central isn't going anywhere. They took down a team that I thought could have, should have won the region. Next year, they'll lose their top guys. They'll lose Harden. They'll lose Brown. They'll lose Chenault. I think Dunbar's the favorite for next year. Watch out for Lexington Christian. Just a couple of teams. Frederick Douglass is going to be back. Kai Simpson and Tyson Barrett. And a couple of the young guys they've given time to, but that was a very senior-laden team. But I just want to say congratulations to Frederick Douglass, because this is the first class of that program that's reached it to its entirety. Frederick Douglass now, and it's unbelievable to think about that. I've been here 4 years in April. It feels like last year I said I was here 3 years. I don't know if that's the pandemic or I'm just getting older. But it'll be my fourth year here at WLXG, and the one cool thing about my entire experience, and something I'll always hold true, is that my entire existence here has been during the entire existence of Frederick Douglass. I came in the very same year that their first year of athletics tipped off or kicked off. And I got to see Dakell Crowless go from a freshman third-string quarterback that helped win them the first round, their first playoff game, to a kid that's going to be a premier receiver at the University of Kentucky. I got to see DeSean Jackson go from a kid that I was like, hey, that kid seems like he's actually pretty good. I'm impressed by him. I'll keep an eye on him for the future. He's going to be a basketball star at the same college I went to college at. Just things like that that are really cool. And we got to see it. I got to meet Kai Simpson's parents. They're amazing people. He's going to be just an absolute stud at the next as a senior, and I can't wait to see where he's going to go to. Tyson Barrett has the most potential of anybody in the state. With his size and athleticism, his fluidity, he kind of reminds me of a Chris Bosh right now, but he actually has full court game. I want to see what that looks like. But congratulations to Frederick Douglass and what they did in 4 years. Coach Mosley, congratulations to him for what he did with this team. And it's just, it's bittersweet to see that happen, but Madison Central is a fantastic basketball team. They win the 11th region. They will go on to the Sweet 16. Reed Shepherd and North Laurel were knocked out, which is a shame because Reed Shepherd is the ticket in Kentucky to go see, and he'll be back with Vengeance next year. He's just a sophomore, so it'll be interesting to see Jaden Morton put Clark County at the buzzer into the tournament. DuPont Manuel, I believe, was about... Okay, I'll have to look that one up at the break. But the state Sweet 16 is coming up. I'll be talking more about that next week. We've got a ton to hit on today. We've got the NBA trade deadline. We've got the NFL free agency and a big draft trade that went down there. We've got the NCAA tournament. We've got everything under the sports sun. Whatever you want to talk about, give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313. And we'll talk more about everything under the sports sun right here on the Angelo Carriero Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com.
I've been moving calm, don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me. Don't pull up at 6 a.m. to cuddle with me. You know how I like it when you loving on me.
Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. This is the time, folks. Give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313, because I want to talk about really anything that you want to talk about. Love having conversation. If you just love the sweet, soothing sounds of my voice, then just keep it here, and we will talk everything sports. But I know some of y'all got opinions about, I don't know, some of y'all have some wild opinions, and those are the callers that I love the most. I love to hear about something that's a little off kilter because, you know, anybody that's listened to me so far, I keep it real. I tell you what I think, and I don't really sugarcoat it too much, and I have some wild opinions myself. So give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313. You can also tweet me at Angelo Media Lex. And you can give us a follow at the station and give me a follow, but you can also follow the station at ESPN Radio Lex. So I just gave a little update about the high school tournament. Madison Central defeated Frederick Douglass to punch their ticket into the Sweet 16. We're going to deviate from that because, look, everybody knows who I am. Everybody knows how big of an NFL draft fan I am. And I'm thought about saving this for later, but this is the news that broke that probably gave me the most eye-popping reaction of not only the weekend, but I'll just say the weekend because I'm sure there's some crazy stuff that has gone on that I haven't completely thought or remembered. But we will start with the trade that shook up the NFL draft landscape. The Dolphins traded the number 3 overall pick to the San Francisco 49ers for the 49ers' number 12 pick, a third-round pick, and first-round picks in 2022 and 2023. So the 49ers took all of their draft chips to the middle of the table and said, there's a quarterback in this draft that we feel confident enough of building our franchise around for the future. I don't think there is a quarterback in this class outside of Trevor Lawrence that is worth doing that for. Because the surety factor or the potential factor somehow has to come into play when you're not talking about a guy that's a for sure thing. I want to give you an example of a time I did agree with it. And retrospectively, we can argue about it all we want, but at the time it made sense. After his first year, it made sense. And if he would have stayed healthy, I think he would have been one of the premier quarterbacks in the game over the last decade. But when Washington gave up that haul to move up just from 6 to 2, it was a very similar haul to what San Francisco gave up to trade to the Miami Dolphins. That haul was for a guy named Robert Griffin III. And Robert Griffin, to me, in a class that didn't have Andrew Luck, would have been the number one overall pick. And now people could call him a bust, but I remember it clear as day. He was the one that won Offensive Rookie of the Year. He won NFL Rookie of the Year. He was the one that Andrew Luck went into a team in just as bad of a straits and brought them to the playoffs, just like Griffin did in Washington. But Griffin was a special quarterback in his own right. He tore his ACL. Mike Shanahan, I don't think it was his fault. I think it was more of a Dan Snyder thing. I believe it said that it was the first Washington home game in like 20 years of some sort when Robert Griffin was trotted out onto the field with a torn ACL. And I remember this one play where he dropped back in his knee, the one with the torn ACL, gave out on him. And, you know, I'm 28 now, and I feel three times over as intelligent and as mature as I was then. I was a stupid kid at 22. Robert Griffin, I mean, imagine he was probably a little more well put together than I was at that age, but still, you have this multi-billion dollar business and this billion-dollar franchise that you're the face of, and you go out there to play football, a game that you played all your life, on this injury you've never played on before, and you're in the NFL playoffs, and I think it got to him. And then I remember back then that Shanahan didn't like Robert Griffin's style of play or blah, blah, blah. That ACL tear and him playing on it ruined his career. I really thought if he didn't play at all after he tore the ACL and he rehabbed, he never would have gotten into that headspace. It never would have gone so awry because he won the Heisman at Baylor. He was a special player. Anyways, that I'm going to get off the Robert Griffin diatribe for a second because I always feel like that people mistakenly criticize him when a lot of it was just circumstances outside of his control. Yeah, he was always injury prone at Baylor, but they could have handled that injury a million times better, and I've never liked Dan Snyder since then. And I'm glad Washington has had all the bad luck that they've had because of that. But that doesn't mean I don't... Washington football team fans, calm down. All right, I'm fine with the team now. I just don't like Dan Snyder. Anyways, San Francisco moving up just 9 picks in the draft, and what is largely viewed as a 4-quarterback class, I view it more as a 3-quarterback class. I could even argue it's a 5-quarterback class. It's really these guys. It's Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones. Okay? They obviously view at least 3 of those guys as no doubt franchise quarterbacks. I don't. Now, I do think that there are 3 quarterbacks in this class that I could kind of see spending a top 5 pick on. That's not to say that I think there are 3 franchise quarterbacks. It's just when you get into that predicament, for an example, if I'm the Atlanta Falcons at 4 and Justin Fields is sitting on the board, you're not going to get in that position again to take a shot on a quarterback with an extremely high pedigree, a guy that played at Ohio State, was unbelievably productive. They lost 2 college games in his whole career. And I know it's not all about the what you do on the field. It's just to hype up maybe what are some lacking certain other traits in Fields, such as I don't know if he's the type of air it out quarterback that the NFL kind of has today, but he's unbelievable in the pocket. He has mobility. He's a guy that, you know, almost broke his ribs against Clemson and then went out there and threw a 5-touchdown performance that will go down as one of the best quarterback performances in Ohio State history. I mean, one of the best performances in the college football playoff history, to be honest. I mean, that was the talk of the town. I had friends hitting me up from everywhere, Justin Fields, best quarterback alive. And I don't know, you can slow down that on that partner. But I do think that if you're the Atlanta Falcons at 4, that if you have a 36-year-old Matt Ryan, whose last year of his deal is this year, and you don't know how good you're going to be next year, you don't know if you're ever going to be in this situation. I'll admit, even though it's not important, I do feel like it's pretty cool that Justin Fields from Georgia, a guy that went there to university for a year, he comes back down and becomes the future of that franchise. And what would be an excellent transition from Matt Ryan to Justin Fields. And that type of quarterback stability in the NFL is important. And I may not think that he's going to be an all-pro someday, but I do think that he could be good. So in those situations, I don't mind taking one of the, we're not sure if he's a franchise guy, but we do think that he has the potential. Okay. But when you give up 2 first-round picks in the next 2 drafts, you're putting everything into that quarterback. You're putting all that pressure into the quarterback. So you need to be sure who it is. By the way, Angelo Carriero Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. You can follow me at Angelo Media Lex. Follow the station at ESPN Radio Lex. Give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313. So, Zach Wilson, a lot of people think is the number 2 quarterback in this draft. I do think if there's anybody that's going to be a superstar out of these quarterbacks, it's probably going to be him, if outside of Trevor Lawrence, of course. If I haven't made my feelings clear on Trevor Lawrence, I think he is the next big thing. I think he is a franchise quarterback. I think he's more than a franchise quarterback. I think that you can build the league around him just as much as they already have with Patrick Mahomes. I think if anything were ever to happen to Pat, I think you could transition to Trevor Lawrence. He is, I don't know, he's what Peyton Manning was coming out of college. Everybody thinks he's the best. He's sure of himself. I think the world of Trevor Lawrence. I hope that Trevor Lawrence goes to Jacksonville and is unbelievably successful, and we have Mahomes Lawrence for the next 10 years, much like we had Brady Manning. There's no way Jacksonville isn't taking Trevor Lawrence. They are not going to field calls on Trevor Lawrence. That's it. I like Zach Wilson's swagger. I like his mobility. I like his passing acumen. I think he reminds me a lot of Baker Mayfield, but he's a little bigger and a tad more athletic, I think, than Baker. I didn't love Baker at all coming out. I thought he was a middling quarterback. He's a little better than that, but I'm still not completely sold on him. I think Zach Wilson's a little taller. He's got the swag. I like everything about him on those facets. But in the terms, he's a little thin. I don't think his arm is as good as some people think it is, even though it's fine. Like, it's a good arm, but I don't know if it's a good arm. And let's say he goes to the Jets at 2. I don't think it's a good arm for maybe New York wins in January. It brings me to the 49ers at 3. You know what? How about this? I'm going to take a break for just a second because I want to get more into this. We got to talk about the Philadelphia-Miami trade as well. A lot of moves coming there. But I'm going to give you who I think the 49ers have keyed in on and why it could be the end of the 49ers, essentially their team for the next decade as we know it. Angelo Carriero, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com.
It's breezy.
You wish.
Yeah.
It's not Breezy, but it is the Angelo Carriero Show with Angelo Carriero here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. If you were listening before the break, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking about the San Francisco's 49ers trade from the 12th overall pick to the 3rd overall pick, kind of a couple of the ramifications coming from that in the terms of what the quarterback landscape in the draft is going to look like. And everybody knows how big on the NFL draft that I am. Give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313 to talk about anything under the sports sun right now. Talking about the draft, you can call in and talk about maybe some of the high school stuff that happened over the weekend. You could talk about the NCAA tournament. Talk about UK football, spring practice, which I've got to try to. I'm going to find some time here. I might wait till it wraps up and do a deep dive into the UK football team. But we have everything under the sports sun that you could talk about if you'd like. Also have NFL free agency, NBA trade deadline stuff. But I was talking about this 49ers trade where they essentially gave up. They put all of their draft chips into the table that there is a quarterback, and not just one specific one, but that there this group of quarterbacks is there's a franchise quarterback that's going to be available, or there's three franchise quarterbacks at least in this draft. Trevor Lawrence is the undisputed. To me, he is the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck. I think he's one of the five best quarterback prospects of all time. I mean, and I love Joe Burrow. I would take Joe Burrow over any quarterback that I've ever seen not named Andrew Luck or Trevor Lawrence. But that's how I just think that he is the I think he has the it factor. He's going one to Jacksonville. The 49ers at three, I would say, would hope that the Jets do something different. Maybe they trade picks like kind of like the Bears did with the 49ers a couple of years ago in 2017, when 49ers were at two, the Bears were at three, and they just they gave up all those kind of mid-round picks to jump that extra spot to get Mitch Trubisky, which we all know how that worked out, and they could have had Mahomes and Watson, or Watson. In this draft, I could see the 49ers doing that if the Jets don't want a quarterback. Because I think Zach Wilson fits what the 49ers need. And I think if there was a quarterback in this class that the 49ers specifically could target to maybe give up all that ammo, it would be Zach Wilson. Because I like him in that Shanahan stretch scheme where it's going to be predicated on running the ball. It's going to be very much designed passes that are easy on the quarterback. But the thing about Wilson is that he has this element to his game, this playground style, very reminiscent of Johnny Manziel, where I think that he is a special type of playmaker when the chips are down. And that's why I think that he is, if there's any quarterback that's going to be a franchise quarterback or more in this class outside of Trevor Lawrence, it's Zach Wilson. If Zach Wilson happens to go two, let's say the Jets have targeted in, this is the guy. This is who we think is the other franchise quarterback in this class. If I'm the 49ers, I take Justin Fields. You didn't move all that way up to get, as much as I love Kyle Pitts, as much as I love Devonta Smith, as much as I love Penei Sewell, you don't move two first-round picks in the next two drafts, including flipping the pick that you have in this one. So to me, even though they get a first-round pick this year, they're picking a young quarterback to develop. To me, that's like they're trading three first-round picks. You don't trade three first-round picks for a non-quarterback. That's just not what you do. I would go the safe route. I would take Justin Fields. I love the pedigree. He was ranked higher than Trevor Lawrence by some recruiting websites coming out of his recruiting class out of Georgia. They are both Georgia quarterbacks. The rivalry has been very well documented. I mean, the last two Ohio State Clemson games we've gotten are pretty much classics, especially the first one. Absolute classic. He has some of the skills. I love his quarterback pocket presence. I love the size. I think he has short field accuracy. I even, you know, one thing I would say is that I didn't think the Northwestern game that everybody talks about was as bad as people made it out to be. I really thought a lot of that was outside of his control. And, yeah, he had, like, a couple of bad throws, but there were a couple of interceptions he threw where I didn't think it was his fault. He had three interceptions that game. Well, two of them weren't on him. One of them was. Two of them weren't. And he played in that. I think the toughness, and I think coming back from hurting his ribs and having that amazing performance against Clemson, I think it showed what his ceiling can be from, like, a game to game. But I think when there are people smarter than I am when it comes to watching these kids from the time that they're 13, 14 years old all the way till they're 18, they choose a college. He went to two major colleges. I mean, Georgia and Ohio State are two of the top five programs in the country. I would say the other three off the top of my head would be Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma. But those are two of the top five programs. He went to one. Kirby Smart stuck with him over, or Jake Fromm over him. He went to Ohio State, became the starter immediately. The NCAA pushed his papers through. He was the starting quarterback there. I think that the 49ers are probably going to take him if Zach Wilson. I think it'll be Zach Wilson and then probably him. And I think it's I can stomach a world where you give up what I amount to three first-round picks for Justin Fields. I can stomach that world. I don't think that Justin Fields is going to be an all-pro ever. I don't think he's an all-pro quarterback. However, I do feel like that he could be a franchise quarterback. A franchise quarterback much in the vein of that kind of next tier, a guy that's just there for a long time, like a Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, I had a third guy, Philip Rivers, guys like that. Now, obviously Cam and Matt Ryan both won MVPs and made Super Bowls, but a guy that could just be stable there for a long time. I think that they made this move to take one guy that I think would be an absolute nightmare of a pick for them, and that's Trey Lance of North Dakota State. Let me take you back to last year's NFL draft. I'm sitting in my friend's living room. I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. I've been a Green Bay Packer fan for over 16 years, probably. However long Aaron Rodgers has been in the NFL, do that plus one, okay? That's how long I've been a Packers fan. Green Bay traded up nowhere near the amount of capital it took for the 49ers to move up to three. They moved up four picks, gave up a fourth-round pick, took Jordan Love, and broke my heart because Aaron Rodgers is my favorite player of all time. He's been the quarterback of my team, three-time MVP, Super Bowl winner. There's nothing that Aaron Rodgers hasn't done on the field that hasn't made me proud as a fan. So they draft a guy to replace him, a guy that watching him, it's like, okay, he's an okay athlete. Okay, he has a strong arm, but where's the ball going? He's apparently a great kid, and that's great. But as a football prospect, I didn't believe in him. And I think Trey Lance is a carbon copy of Jordan Love. They're both small school guys. They both have similar frames, about that 6'2", 6'3". Trey Lance, you know, a lot of people say he's built like a linebacker. Well, he's still pretty skinny. He has a strong arm, but the ball kind of drifts from place to place. They say he's a great athlete. I believe he ran like a 4.61 or something. That's great. That's NFL linebackers are faster than that these days. And he's not Cam Newton size. It's not like he's going to be bowling over people. Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, is a descendant of that Kyle Shanahan tree. He worked with Kyle Shanahan in Houston. He worked with Kyle Shanahan in Washington. He obviously has a type that he views as the conductor of that offense that's run first. And I think Kyle Shanahan's going to look at Trey Lance like he's super Jordan Love. And I think that'll be a disaster. I think Kyle Shanahan's going to bank on the athleticism, or mold him into a great quarterback. I think that will, as great of a coach as Kyle Shanahan is, I think if they go with Trey Lance at that third spot and they lose all those firsts, I think it'll be a disaster for the 49ers. I think it'll lead to Kyle Shanahan's ousting in San Francisco. And, you know, maybe he becomes something. But that's kind of the feeling, the kind of the tea leaves that I'm reading here. Now, it could be for Justin Fields. I'm fine with that. I'd rather play it safe than sorry on this one. I'd take Fields. If Zach Wilson's there, take Zach Wilson. I like Mac Jones more than Trey Lance. Now, I don't think he fits the Shanahan scheme. I like Mac Jones more. But if that's what the 49ers did, I think they're in peril. Listen, I'm coming up against it. I got to take one more break. I'll be right back around the corner. We're going to talk about Philadelphia and Miami, maybe some of the NBA, or you could just give me a call and we'll end the show on a call. Give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313. Be back right around the corner here on the Angelo Carriero Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, and streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com.
Cards in the scammers, hitting the licks in the valley, legacies.
The Angelo Carriero Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. I'm going to do a quick hitter, guys. I'm going to go boom, 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 and then I got to get out of here. So here's what it is. The Philadelphia Eagles traded the 6th overall pick to the Miami Dolphins for the 12th overall pick that they had gotten from the San Francisco 49ers. They swapped picks in the 4th round, and then they got Miami's 2022 first-round pick. I thought this was an absolute no-brainer for the Philadelphia Eagles. They're rebuilding. They might get 3 first-round picks next year if Carson Wentz plays 70% of the Colts games and makes the playoffs, or 75% overall. And I think that pick, just to load up when a team is rebuilding like that, and it's kind of a wedge rebuild, I'm very impressed by them being able to pull it off. The Miami Dolphins, I think that it was kind of costly, but look, they have all this first round pick ammo, and if the draft falls the way I think it will, the first 3 picks will be quarterbacks. I think even the 4th pick, whether that be to Atlanta or a trade of some sort, will be a quarterback. That means that they're going to get one of the top pass catchers, if not the top pass catcher on their board. And I've always said, teams that are bad, even though they got that 3rd pick from the Texans, they were really good last year. But picking at the top of the draft is important because that's where the Hall of Fame players usually are. So to get yourself in that position to choose one of the non-quarterbacks, one of the best non-quarterbacks in the draft, I think that that's the cost that it takes. Speaking of that, the Cincinnati Bengals are the big winners out of all of these trades being made because they look at the top of the board now. Now the first pick's going to be quarterback. The second pick's going to be quarterback most likely. The 3rd pick's going to be quarterback. The 4th pick's going to be quarterback most likely. So that means they get their pick of any of the pass catchers that they want to put around Joe Burrow, or to select the guy that I think everybody thinks the Bengals should take, and that's Oregon's Penei Sewell. And I truly do think that Oregon's Penei Sewell should be the pick for the Cincinnati Bengals. That guy is going to be a future All-Pro, if not Hall of Famer. He is an extremely athletic tackle. He's a dancing bear. He, along with Kyle Pitts, who I think are the 2 best non-quarterbacks in the draft, and Devonta Smith, they are the only 20-year-olds in this draft. It is astounding to me how great that position. I think they're both going to be in the Hall of Fame from this draft. I really do. And I think if the Bengals take either of those players or even Devonta Smith, I think they're in a good position there. So that's what the NFL draft landscape kind of turned into with these trades. Today, did you know that you can hear the NCAA tournament all day and all tournament long right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300? You can listen to it on 92.5 FM. Even if you're at work or you're not by your radio, you can stream it live on WLXG.com. Yeah, that's absolutely right that you can. So I am going to do a little bit of a pick'em for today. By the way, can we talk about how much better the games are today than they were yesterday? And I'm sure that they already had these scheduled out, but it's actually a little amusing to me how much better the games are today. By the way, Mississippi State Memphis for the NIT. Woof. I mean, it should be a fun game, but just to see those 2 teams there, it's kind of a far fall from the NCAA tournament. Creighton at Gonzaga, I'm taking Gonzaga. There's nothing more to say about that. Florida State, Michigan is going to be extremely interesting. I think Michigan's one of the 4 best teams left, but Florida State's one of those teams in the tournament that they just play a game that can put you into submission. It's almost like they don't beat you. They make you beat yourself. And that's what I love about Florida State. So I'm going to go with Leonard Hamilton's squad, and I'm going to take the Florida State Seminoles in that game as an upset pick. Do I love it? No, because I do believe in Michigan, but I'll take Florida State in that game. UCLA, Alabama. UCLA's been on a tear. They could win that game. I don't see it. I think Alabama has a chance to go to the national title and win it this year. They're my sleeper pick for the national championship. And then Oregon, USC. Oregon's fairy tale comes to an end. I think USC is a really good basketball team with a lot of talent. USC, another contender for that Final Four spot. And lastly, my guy, my favorite player of all time in basketball, at least when it comes to Kentucky connections, a little bit of the NBA. Rajon Rondo was traded from the Atlanta Hawks to the Los Angeles Clippers. He was on the bench last night in a game that the Clippers won. I think Rajon Rondo was the most important trade deadline, NBA trade deadline traded player to a team that is competing and contending, because the thing that the Clippers lack was a point guard that can set up those superstars on the Clippers, the Kawhis, the Paul Georges, even guys like Serge Ibaka, to get them in the spots they need to be. Rajon Rondo has always been proven that he can make superstar players better because he puts them in the right places. That team was missing an orchestrator to these fantastic instrument players that they have. I think the Clippers just became dangerous with a Rajon Rondo trade. That's all I have. That's all the time I have today, unfortunately. Tweet me at AngeloMediaLex for anything else that you want to talk about under the sports sun. And also, don't forget, I post the shows every week on WLXG.com. So follow my Twitter and you can follow with me, and I'll update you about everything that I'm doing, everything that's coming out, and you can listen to the show later if you missed any of it. Angelo Carriero on The Angelo Carriero Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live where? Well, all around the world at WLXG.com. This I know. This I know.